Now, the title of this message that I am bringing tonight is Christ is All and in All. Christ is All and in All. Most of you are familiar with the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You know, down in Bethany, there was a little family. There was a brother and two sisters, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And our Lord evidently visited that home more than once. And these three believers were special to him, for when Lazarus became ill, the sisters sent word to the master, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And our Lord waited several days. In fact, Lazarus died. And then he came back to Bethany. And if you'll turn in your Bible to John chapter 11, he came back to Bethany. And he sent word. He stopped a little ways outside of town. And he sent word to Martha that he wanted to see her. And here in verse 20, it says in John 11, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus," she came out to him, "and she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, hidden here in all of this that's taking place, and I've heard lots of sermons on this subject here and from this scripture, but hidden here is a statement that I'm about to read that our Lord made to Martha, which helped me years ago, helped me a great deal in my understanding of my relationship with Christ and his relationship with me. Most people would have been totally satisfied with what Martha had to say. She said to the Lord, she said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She recognized his power to heal. If you'd have been here, this tragedy would never have occurred. You would have prevented it. And then she ascribed to him a relationship with the Father. She said, whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. I know that. Even now, whatever you ask the Father, that's ascribing to Christ great power, sovereignty, and a relationship with the Father. And then our Lord said, will your brother rise again? And then she said, I know that he'll rise again in the day of resurrection. She believed in the resurrection of the dead. There were a lot of folks down in Corinth that didn't believe in it, but she did. But our Lord made a statement to her, and I want you to listen to it. And it's what my message is all about tonight. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection. I myself, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. What he's saying here is life and resurrection are not even things to be considered apart from Christ. Life and resurrection, eternal life, spiritual life, resurrection, a relationship with God doesn't even exist apart from him. You can't put it in a creed. You can't put it in what we believe. You can't put this in a catechism. Resurrection and life are not even to be considered. They don't even exist apart from Christ. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Read on. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me will never die, because I am the life. He has me, he has life. Martha, do you believe this? And that's what I'm asking myself and you tonight. Do you believe this? I didn't ask, do you believe in the resurrection? I'm not asking you if you believe in the power of Christ to heal. I'm not asking you if you believe in the relationship that Christ has with the Father. Authority and sovereignty over all things. Whatever he asks the Father will give him. But do you believe that Christ literally himself is the resurrection? That he is the life? To have Christ is to have all things. And not to have Christ, whatever you believe about him or whatever you profess about him, not to have Christ himself is to have nothing. To have him is to have all things, whether you understand it or not. This is just too deep for me. I know it is for me too. Whether you've experienced it or not, whether you feel assured of it or not, but to have Christ by faith is to have all things in God and all things of God and all things from God. It's in Christ. That's what he's saying. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. Truth is Christ. There's no such thing as arriving at Christ through the truth. You arrive at truth through Christ. He's the truth. When you have him, you have truth. When you have him, you have life. When you have him, you have resurrection. Let me show you that in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1. Christ is all. To have Christ is to have all. Not to have Christ is to have nothing. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. A branch cannot abide alone. Severed from the vine, it's only fit for burning. You abide in me, and my word abide in you, you have life. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God's going to gather together all things in Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to him, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This is so clear in the scriptures. Let me show you a few verses. Turn with me first to John 3. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. All things are in Christ. And if I have Christ, I have all things, whether I understand it, whether I've experienced it, whether I feel confident of it. If Christ lives in me, I have all that God has. Look at John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And he that believeth on the Son hath all things. He hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son will never see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Turn again to Ephesians 1. Let's look at another passage here in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 20. Listen to this. Ephesians 1 20. Now I'm saying Christ is all. Which he wrought in Christ, Ephesians 1:20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but the world to come, angels, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, name it, and he hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things, all, A-L-L, all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Nothing outside of Christ. Christ is all. Somebody may charge us with preaching too much Christ. I hear people say there are other things. There's not anything else. You're deceived to think there's anything. All. You hear these words? All. Christ is all. Listen to Colossians 3:11. Colossians 3:11. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's no national lines. Circumcision or uncircumcision. There's no party lines. Barbarian, Scythian. There's no social lines. Bond or free. Whether you're in jail, whether you're in slavery, whether you're the master. But Christ is all. He's everything. And in all. Turn to Colossians 1. Now, I've got 4 or 5 points in this message. Christ is all. You put all things under his feet, giving him to be the head of all things. All fullness dwelleth in. Christ is all. Now, here's the first point. Jesus Christ is all and in all in this first creation. Colossians 1. Listen to this. Verse 14. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the very exact image of the invisible God. You want to see God? See Christ. The firstborn of every creature. He's the beginning of the creation of God. I don't know what that means, but that's what John said in Revelation. Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. He's the firstborn, the first begotten of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things. Not only, he's before all things. You hold that right there and don't turn to this. Let me just read this to you. In Proverbs chapter 8, if you're taking notes. The scripture, listen to this. When there were no depths, Christ was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, Christ was brought forth. While as yet God had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the earth, when he prepared the heavens, Christ was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depths, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the seas his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, Christ was by him as one brought up with him, and Christ was his delight, rejoicing always before. He's everything. Go back to Colossians 1. He's before all things. Verse 17, and by him all things exist. Consist. In other words, he upholdeth everything by the word of his power. Time is in his hand. The sun comes up at his command and sets at his command. The breezes blow. The snow falls. The wind blows. The earth shakes. Lightning. His voice is in the lightning and the thunder. There's nothing that occurs on the face of this earth or in heaven above or in the universe that's not under the direct charge and command of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. He disposes of all things and controls all things. He's the head, verse 18, of the church, the body, which is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Don't you turn to these. Let me just quickly turn to them and show you something here. Hannah said this. She said, the Lord kills. The Lord, Jehovah, my Lord Jesus Christ. He kills, he makes alive. He brings down to the grave, he brings up. He maketh poor, he maketh rich. He bringeth low, he lifteth up. He raiseth the poor out of the dust, lifteth the beggar from the dunghill. My Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ disposes of all creatures and controls all things. Matthew 28, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He prayed in John 17, verse 2, "Thou hast given me power over all flesh." And I want you to listen to this. Over here again in Proverbs 8, listen. "Counsel is mine and wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign. By me princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles. Even by me all the judges of the earth." He has the keys of hell and death. They're at his side. And listen to this. I'll have you turn to this, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, listen. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son," listen, "whom he hath appointed heir of heaven," nope, "of earth," nope, "of a religious community," no sir, "of all things." He's the heir of all things. "By whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down triumphantly, reigning, conquering, at the very right hand of the majesty on high." And Almighty God said in verse 7, or verse 6, and again, Hebrews 1, 6, "when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world," he says, "and let all the angels of God worship him." My friends, Jesus Christ is all in creation. In heaven, in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places, he reigns and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Secondly, I'll have you turn to Ephesians 2. Jesus Christ is all in the new creation. Now, we believe that we're new creatures. We've been born again. We've been begotten from the dead. We've been born again to a living hope. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that new creation, in that new creation, Christ is all. There's nothing of us or from us or through us makes any contribution to this new creation. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Faith's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, like the original creation, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me give you seven thoughts here, quickly and briefly. Number one. In this new creation, Christ is all. Now, it's evident, I've read to you, he's all in the original creation, the first creation. But in the new creation, he's all in the covenant. The Word of God says that he's the surety of the new covenant. The Word of God says that he brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. But let me show you this. In Hebrews 9, this is very interesting and very powerful. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, what's a covenant? It's a testament. It's a testament. And immediately when we think of a testament, we think of a last will and testament. Someone decrees, someone promises, someone leaves to someone that which is his. It's not his. It's not that person. It's this person. And this person makes a last will and testament and leaves it to that person. Now, watch here. In verse 15 of Hebrews 9. "For this cause," you know, we have nothing. We're poverty stricken. God has everything. And God's going to give unspeakable gift, unsearchable gift. God's going to give something to us. Verse 15, for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called, they which are designated, might receive the promise of eternal life, the gift, the inheritance, eternal inheritance. But where a testament is, there's got to be the death of the testator. It does not go into effect. The covenant, here we are poor, but God by choice is our Father. And God by choice is going to make us an heir. And God by choice is going to give us promises and all these promises, but it's ever been in Christ. He's the surety. He's the head. He's the author and finisher. He's the testator. And there's one thing specifically required for me to get what's given to me. He's got to die. And then it becomes mine. Verse 17, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Christ died. Purchased it all. Made us fit. Made us sufficient. Made us meet. He's all in the covenant. Well, I've got to hurry. Second, I said seven things. Second, he's all in election. Turn to Ephesians 1 again. He's all in election. Now, if you want to study election, and you want to get really into it, you study it from this standpoint. One statement in a little poem written years ago. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose his people in their head. We were chosen in Christ. You see, God didn't just go around here and pick us out and then provide Christ. Christ provided first. Christ is the first elect. Christ is all. God gives it all to him. God has vested it all in him. And the only way I partake of it is to be in him. When God blesses him, he's got to bless me. I'm in him. It's just like this body here. You get into, you're hot, sweaty, been out in the garden, working. And you come in and get in a nice, refreshing shower. Well, it's not just your head that is blessed. You're blessed all over. What one part of the body feels, the rest of it feels. If you eat a good meal, from top of your head to the sole of your feet, you're rejuvenated. So when God gives Jesus Christ anything, if I'm in him, I have it. But only in him. You're not going to bless Christ here and throw me a crumb. He's all in election. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he chose us in Christ. From the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in Christ. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through his blood. Everything in the covenant's Christ. Everything in election's Christ. Everything in justification's Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:25, God set forth Christ to be a covering, a sin offering, a mercy seat, a propitiation, that God may be just and the justifier of them who believe in Christ. And then fourthly, Christ is all in the putting away of sin. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, by his stripes I'm healed. 1 Peter 3:18, he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Hebrews 9:26 says, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. when he had by himself purged our sin. Not my confession, not my baptism, not my profession, not my acceptance of Christ, but the effectual blood of Christ puts away all sin. Before I ever hear about it, before I ever know about it, before I ever understand it or experience it, the blood maketh atonement for the soul. That's right. He's all. He's all in righteousness. Let me show you this. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. This is very interesting. And this is one place we all have a struggle. We don't feel holy. In fact, we know by ourselves, in ourselves, we are not holy. And yet, who shall stand in his holy presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Righteousness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. There's the struggle that we have. Well, where are we going to get this holiness, this righteousness? Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Listen. In his days, Judah shall be saved. This righteous branch, this son of David, this king. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He's my righteousness. And I hold that. He's my holiness. He's my righteousness. He's my acceptance. He is. Turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. And his name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Look at Jeremiah 33:16. Here's almost the same thing. Remember verse 6, Jeremiah 23 said, in his days Judah shall be saved. Verse 15, Jeremiah 33, verse 16, in those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. What's his name? The Lord our righteousness. What's my name? Your name. The Lord our righteousness. That's right. That's how holy. Someone said this, with his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as God's Son. But I have to be for God to accept me. He's my righteousness. All of it. Yeah, but preacher, you know, people say that the Lord helps them to help themselves, you know. Thank God that's not true. Well, you know, He puts away our sins, but it's up to us to please God, to serve God. Well, I'm glad that's not true. I'm glad that's not true. I'm glad he's my righteousness from A to Zizzard. All of it. And six, in the sixth place, he's my acceptance. Hebrews 4, turn to this. I read a while ago, he hath made us accept in the beloved, but listen to this. Hebrews 4. You know, they asked old John Jasper, they said, when you get to heaven, and they stop you at the gate, and somebody says, John Jasper, what right you got to be here? What you going to say? And he was a great old black preacher over in Richmond, Virginia, during the Civil War. What right? They're going to say at heaven's gate, John Jasper, what right you got to be here? Who are you? What you going to say? He said, I'm going to say I ain't got no right to be here at all. I ain't got no right to be here. I'm not here on my righteousness. I'm here on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely. Hebrews 4, listen. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. Verse 16. And let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Why? Because he's there. There's no reason to come otherwise. Be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. There's no right to come. There's no reason to come. But seeing he's there, then let's come boldly and find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And then last, Jesus Christ is all in salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And God said he has set a day in which he's going to judge this world. And I know, I'm sitting the other night thinking about this. I know there are people, and I pray that not any of us here tonight. And he gave evidence of it when he raised him from the dead. There's your victory. There's your righteousness. There's your mediator. There's your testator. There's your intercessor. There's your justification. There's your sanctification. There's your redemption. There's your holiness. It ain't here, not here, it's not there. It's not in teaching, preaching. It's not in giving. It's not in going. It's not in witnessing. It's not in anything these hands can do. In my hands, God Almighty, no price I bring. Can you say that? And mean it? Boy, I don't know which I am. It counts for something, doesn't it? No. I mean, after all, these people hadn't done anything, and I'd given my life. Nope. The thief on the cross is evidence of it. He walked into glory, arm in arm with the Redeemer, and he never did anything for God but curse him. Nothing. And he'll be there with the same glory and the same hope as the Apostle Paul, who wrote 14 of these epistles in this New Testament. That's so, Mike. Both Mikes. In other words, I'm telling you, Christ is all. And you're complete in him. And you can't get better than complete. But without him, you're not complete. One man said this, when you speak of a knowledge of God or a relationship with God, you've got to understand that in that knowledge and in that relationship, Jesus Christ is all from the Father, to the Father, and with the Father. He's all from the Father. He said, I'm come that you might have life. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. He's all from the Father. Nothing else is coming. No one else is coming. Secondly, he's all to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Having boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And he's all with the Father. Wherefore the Father hath highly exalted him, not you, him. And hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, they're not even going to know my name up there, but they know his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friend of mine, well, Brother Barnard, preaching a meeting one time, and he was invited to a home for supper by a lady that was in all the services. She came to all the services. Her husband didn't come to any of the services. He wouldn't attend church at all. But he always welcomed the preachers to his home. You see, he ran the local tavern. He ran the local beer joint. And he didn't mind his wife having the preacher for supper. In fact, he always came and visited with the preacher, but he wouldn't come to church. Brother Barnard was sitting there having dinner in the home, and there was the husband, the head of the table, and the pastor and his wife, and the fellow's wife that owned the tavern. And they got in a conversation, and the fellow that owned the tavern said to Brother Barnard, I guess you noticed I'm not in church. Barnard said, yes, sir, I've noticed that. Appreciate you inviting us, Steve. He said, "Want to know why I'm not in church?" Barnabas said, "Well, if you want to tell me." He said, "I'm not there because every preacher that comes around here tells me that in order to be saved, I got to sell my tavern. And I've got money invested in that tavern. My daddy ran it before I did, and it's my life business. It's my support. And these preachers tell me in order to be saved, you've got to sell my tavern." Barnett said, you don't have to sell your tavern to be saved. He said, "What did you say?" He said, "I said you don't have to sell your tavern to be saved." Would you have told him that? Most of us wouldn't. He said, "I think I'll come hear you preach." Well, he was there that night. He came that night with his wife. You know that's true? He could sell that tavern and all the taverns in town. He wouldn't be saved. You're not saved by doing anything for God. You're not saved by cleaning up your life. You're not saved by accepting Jesus. Did you know that? You're saved by grace. You're saved by God. Salvation is of the Lord. It's free. Well, that man came and heard Brother Barnard preach. And you know something? Before that meeting was over, God saved that man. Brought him to Christ. And he sold his tavern. Of course he did. Believers not go operate a beer joint. But you're not... You can operate a beer joint and not be a believer, and you can preach and not be a believer. Being a believer got nothing to do with operating a beer joint. You see what I'm saying? Doesn't make you a believer. Clean up your life all you want to, and you just be a Pharisee. You'll be a whited sepulcher. You'll be full of dead men's bones, and that's what most churches are full of. They're full of gravestones. But when God gives you a new heart and a new nature, the outside's cleaned it. That's right. All right, thirdly, Christ is all in the old creation. He's all in the new creation. He's all in the gospel. All in the ministry of the word. It's Christ we preach. Paul said that over and over again. I wish preachers had listened to him. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. We preach Christ. In Acts 5, it says, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach Christ. Acts 8:5 said, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Acts 8:35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached Christ. Acts 10:36, Peter said, the word which God sent, preaching Christ. He's Lord of all. Acts 11, and when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching Christ. Acts 17:3, Paul said, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Acts 17:18, the philosopher said, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached Christ. Acts 28:31 says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern Christ. You know, it's Christ who sent us to preach. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's Christ who gives us the grace and gifts to preach. Ephesians 3:8 says, to me is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the riches of Christ, the unsearchable riches. This very... I preach Christ. Christ sent me to preach Christ. And the very gifts and grace I have to preach Christ comes from Christ. You tired of hearing that word? But he's all. I'm trying to say he's all. If you're saved, you don't draw breath without him. Take Christ away and you have no gospel. Are you in darkness? Christ is the light. Are you poor? He's our riches. Are you hungry? He's our bread. Are you thirsty? He's our water. Are you blind? He's our sight. Are you sick? He healeth all thy diseases. Are you in trouble? He's our peace. Are you in prison? He sets the captive free. Are you lost? He came to save the lost. Are you a sinner? He's a friend of sinners. I want to tell the boys and girls a story. A It used to be, they had one in Chattanooga where I pastored, and they had one in Louisville I knew about, one in Chicago that was quite famous. Rescue missions back in the days of depression, back when people were walking the streets dirty, hungry, and tired and weary. And there was a man who ran a rescue mission that put out a little flyer, just a little card, and on it he says, "Are you weary? Are you hungry? Are you sick? Are you lost? All you need is John 3:16." And he put Reverend Joseph and an address in this city. And there was a man, he ran a little rescue mission. And there was a bum, a beggar, out on the street one night. It was so cold and wet, and he was so weary and dirty and hungry, and he crawled up in a little doorway, and the wind was blowing and the dust was blowing all around him, and he scrooched up there in that doorway and pulled his coat up around his neck, and a piece of paper blew in, and it was one of these little flyers. Are you cold? Are you weary? Are you hungry? All you need is John 3:16 with that address. He stuck it in his pocket, and he went hunting that place in the city. And he found it. There was a light on inside. It's late at night and dark. And he knocked on the door. And Reverend Joseph came to the door. And he said, I'm cold. And I'm weary, and I'm hungry. And this says all I need, John 3:16. Come in, come in. Brought him in. He said, now, you go over there. He had a big fire going over there, open fire, over there in the fireplace. He said, you go over there and sit in front of that fireplace. You look cold. He said, what about this John 3:16? He said, no, we'll talk about that later. You go get warm. I'm going to fix you a hot bath. You're dirty and tired and weary. He said, you just sit there. So he sat over there, and Mr. Joseph lay up. He's warming his hands. He said, boy, that John 3:16 must be something to warm an old cold bum like me. That's why the man came down and said, come on upstairs now. So I got you a hot bath. And so he went up there, and he said, take off those old dirty clothes and throw them over in the corner. I got you some nice clean pajamas and a bathrobe. Here's some house slippers. Just throw those old clothes away, and I'll go down and be fixing you something to eat. He said, what about this John 3:16? He said, talk about that later. So he crawled in that tub of hot water and just slid down and soaked. And he thought to himself, boy, that John 3:16 must be something to clean up an old dirty bum like me. And after he got all cleaned up and put his bathrobe on, his house slippers and those new pajamas, he came downstairs, his hair slipped back, and there was a meal you couldn't believe. And the man, Mr. Joseph, pulled a chair and said, have a seat.
And eat all you want.
He said, what about that John 3:16? He said, we'll get to that later. He sat there and ate. And Mr. Joseph said, I'm going up and fix your bed. Now you just eat and then you can go rest. And he ate all it. He thought, well, this John 3:16 must be something to warm an old cold bum and to clean an old dirty bum and to fill up and feed an old dirty bum. Hungry bum. Well, make a long story short, Mr. Joseph took him up and he got in bed. And Mr. Joseph stood by the door and he lay there in that nice, soft, clean sheets. And Mr. Joseph left and he thought, boy, that John 3:16 must be something to rest an old bum like me. Next day, Mr. Joseph told him all about the Savior. But my friends, that's where my heart's warmed, and that's where my soul's cleansed, and that's where my soul is fed, and that's where I find my rest in Christ Jesus. God so loved this sinner that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me close. Christ is all fourthly in the worship of God and the ordinances. We're going to baptize in a moment. But this ordinance sets forth the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We meet here around the Lord's table, but it's his broken body and his shed blood that we commemorate. A while ago, Brother Jim led us in prayer. We ask in his name. We pray by the help of his Spirit. He's the mediator that makes our prayers acceptable. And every gift God gives as a result of prayer
comes through him. He's all in the ordinances.
And Christ is all in every grace. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from the Lord. Who maketh thee to differ? Paul said, I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but the grace of Christ which dwells in me. My conclusion. Then if Jesus Christ is all to me, I mean literally, conclusively, unchangeably, experimentally, if he's all to me, then the loss of anything in this world
for his sake is no loss at all. Huh?
If you, come on. Is he all? Paul said, I count all things but loss for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Secondly, if Jesus Christ is all to me, then I can say with Jacob, I have everything. I'll give you an assignment. In Genesis 33, verse 8 through 11, Jacob met Esau. And he had a gift for him, you remember? And Esau said, no, I'm not going to take the gift.
I have enough. Check that word. When Esau said, I have enough, he said, I have plenty. That's what he said. Check the word. Now, I checked it again tonight. This is true. In the Hebrew, that word is,
when he said, I have enough, when Esau said, I have enough, Esau said, I have plenty. But Jacob turned to him and said, take it.
I have enough, and that word is, you know what it is? All. Everything.
Esau could say, I have plenty. Jacob would say, I have everything because I have Christ. There's a difference. There's a difference. You'll note the difference if you'll check that, Genesis 33:11. I have enough. There are a lot of people in the world out yonder tonight who have enough. They have plenty.
It's going to burn. I have everything. Everything.
All right, if Christ is all, to me, if he's all, literally, actually all, then the pleasures of this world, the profits, the honors, are not going to interest me. Paul said this. I want you to turn to this. Philippians 4. This should be worth your while. Philippians 4, verse 11. Let's look at it. I didn't get to preach but once today, so I'm going to put it all in one sermon. Philippians 4, verse 11. Listen. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to do without, and I know how to abound, I know how to have plenty. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do without. Because I have everything. I have him. That's right. And then, if Christ is all to me, when death comes, and I stand, as I said a while ago, before the tribunal of God, I don't have to plead anything but Christ. I don't have to make any excuses or alibis or anything. I just say, Christ is my all. The moon and the stars shall lose their light. The sun shall sink in endless night. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The works of nature shall all decay. But they to whom Christ is all, though lost and ruined by the fall, shall see these dangers overpassed and stand the storm and live at last. For what Christ said must be fulfilled, and on this firm rock believers build. His blood shall stand, His truth prevail, and not one word or promise fail. You know what I believe? Christ is all. I ain't just preaching that. I believe that.